Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Karen, and welcome to the Law of Attraction and Love Radio Show. And I'm so excited you're here to join me today. I have a very special guest, and she's been on our show before, and we love her so much. We're having her back again, and she's got an awesome new book we'd like to share with you. And our guest today is Lisa Stedman. Now, if you don't know Lisa Stedman, she is well known as a relationship journalist and has been a professional writer, marketer, and brand enthusiast for nearly a decade, including the billion-dollar Barbie brand. Is that cool or what? She's the author of It's a Breakup, Not a Breakdown, and that's the book we were talking about last time. So if you have not listened to that show, please go to blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Karen and check out the archive of that show. You can download it for free. She's also been on several different magazines. She's featured relationship writer for the online dating site itsjustcoffee.com. That's pretty popular. And also, she writes an award-winning column, The X-Files, Celebrity Breakups with a New Age Agenda on deadbrain.com. And she's the creator and editor of breakupchronicles.com. So you got to check all those out. And the last features true life tales of how breaking up with the wrong person is the right thing to do. And she lives in Los Angeles, California. So without further ado, Lisa, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back on your show.
Oh, well, we're very appreciative that you're back with us as well. Thank you. And this is a lovely book that you have. It's called If He's Not the One, Who Is? And obviously this is a book for women because you write very well for women. so tell us, first of all, just for the people that, you know, haven't listened to our other show, just a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in all this relationship, you know, sharing, coaching, writing.
Well, it definitely started from personal experience. I found relationships incredibly challenging, and I kept getting into relationships with men who were completely wrong for me, and they had revealed they were completely wrong to me from day one. And I was like, oh, that's okay, we can make this work. And I was always unfulfilled, unsatisfied, frustrated. And it wasn't until I went through my big breakup, which is now 6 years ago that I went through my big breakup, that I realized I have to show up differently in order to get a different result. And that's why I launched my website, breakupchronicles.com, so we could all share our stories of how when a relationship either breaks up with us or we break up with it, our life gets better because Mr. Wrong was not the one. Now, just to update your listeners, my website is now lisastedman.com. So if you're looking for breakup stories, please go to lisastedman.com, and there you will also find information about how to get back out there and start dating, how to love your single life if you're not ready to date, and how to really reclaim your life following the end of a relationship where you're really forced to reinvent yourself. That's the work I do with women. It's about changing your future, shifting your beliefs, and saying, even though I may have never experienced it, I'm going to believe there's a healthier, happier love out there for me. And I will just share one last thing. I had to go on that journey, and I am now blissfully married to the most perfect man for me based on getting clear about my own stuff.
Oh, yay. That is awesome.
Yay. Woohoo.
Boy, isn't it just so different, though, from, you know, the times where we I don't know, we just keep struggling and struggling. You think, well, you know, they tell us, you know, relationships is a lot of work, and you know, so I think those of us that have the middle name try harder.
Yes, and most women, you know, do.
we do. I don't know what it is about that tenacity. I think it's sort of part of our ancestry.
Yes.
But boy, you know, when you get the right energies mixed together and we change ourselves, I totally echo your experiences. It is totally different. It's so much
yes.
more blissful.
Yes, and my husband and I talk about this all the time. Our relationship is not work. We work at it, but it is a pleasure. It is fun. We were saying the other day, why do we never fight? When we were trying to identify why we never fight, and I think it's because we allow ourselves to be individuals. We accept mm-hmm. ourselves exactly as we are, even though, yes, there are things we would like to change. We understand, you know what, this is my partner. I agreed to this person, you know, even with the things that in the past I would have tried to change, it's not worth trying to change. I just want to celebrate this person for being in my life and loving them and accepting them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think there's so much that we reflect on ourselves that we don't like about ourselves, and we, you know, push that onto or project it onto other people.
Yes.
It's supposed to make us feel better, but never does.
Yes, and it's that expectation. You're going to fix me, or being with you is going to rescue me. And if we take the expectation of what the other person can do for us off and say, I'm still a whole person, I'm still an independent person, now I'm just in a relationship with someone, and I'm going to temper my expectations and not project onto them, it just makes being in a loving, committed relationship so much simpler and so much easier. And I encourage everyone to pursue that kind of relationship rather than the one where you're banging your head against the wall in frustration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it is, and the work involved sounds like it's more internal work than it really is, you know, necessarily with the other person.
Yes, yes. Internal work is ongoing and never ending. That's our journey here on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more about why you wrote this particular book, If He's Not the One Who Is.
Yes. Well, you know, I had been in the breakup space for many years, working on two books. It's A Breakup, Not a Breakdown, and then the 21-Day Workbook, which was the follow-up. And I was working with a lot of women. I coach women. I lead teleseminars. And I realized that, you know, healing from a breakup is kind of like triage, in that it's not just about getting over the guy, because if it was just getting over the guy, it wouldn't be that painful. It's really looking at all the other areas of our life that may not be working, including that story we've been telling ourselves about what love is supposed to look like. And when we go through the breakup and it doesn't work out, we are so hurt and disappointed. And a lot of times as women, we turn that into the anger on ourselves, and we start beating ourselves up and shaming and blaming ourselves and saying, you suck, you're the problem in relationships. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't like seeing that. So what I have done is written a book that says, okay, it's over, and you may be done, you may even be done missing your ex, but now you're missing someone. There's a void in your life. How do we fill that void with something beautiful, amazing, and extraordinary, which would be you, and make your life the best life it can be today, so that if and when you're ready to start dating, you're ready to manifest Mr. Right, you can get out there and do it effortlessly, flawlessly, and fabulously, because you are celebrating yourself.
Ah, okay. So it's not, well, I know this, but it's, you know, it's not sort of like the you know, quick fix, you know, the stories where you see on TV where, well, the dog's died and somebody goes and buys a new dog for the kid.
Right.
not that kind of void filling. You're not talking about that.
No, no. I'm talking about, you know, when you go through a breakup, there's an emptiness that happens because, number one, you love this person, but number two, you probably spent a lot of time with that person. So you're going to have a lot of time on your hands, and rather than fill it with the emotional eating, which you're allowed, or with, you know, telling yourself how crappy you are in relationships, what about filling your time with things that make you feel good and are good for you?
Okay, so is that part of what some of your suggestions are in this book, If It's Not the One Who Is?
Yeah, the beginning of If He's Not the One Who is all about reclaiming your life. What do you want to celebrate? What do you want to amp up? What do you want to focus on now that you're free from a relationship that may have been in some way dragging you down in terms of energy? Maybe you were too focused on him. Maybe you were too focused on being a partner with him. Now that you are footloose and fancy free, what do you want to do? Do you want to go back to school? Do you want to buy your first home? Do you want to change jobs? What do you want to do and celebrate so that you can like your life today? And then throughout the course of the book, as we get it later into the book, it's like, okay, if you want to get back out here, here's a step-by-step process for getting back out there. If you want to date better, here are some tips to become a more effective dater. If you want to know the differences between Mr. Wrong, Mr. Next, and Mr. Right, then it's time to start paying attention when you're dating, instead of coming from a place of, oh, please just like me.
That sort of needy.
Yeah, the needy thing really distracts us. And I know you know this. When we're coming from a place, when we're dating, we're saying, please like me, we're not asking ourselves, do I like this person? We're not
right,
saying,
right.
How is this person revealing himself to me? We're saying, please like me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your particular personality is. I'm just looking for love and acceptance regardless. And that's coming from scarcity and lack, and we must shift that if we want to call in this effortless kind of love.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I got so involved in talking with you, I didn't even share with our listeners what number to call
oh.
in for. that's like I'm having too much fun here. Okay, so
I love it.
So if you're either online with us or on the phone with us, you can call live and ask Lisa a question, and the number to call in is area code 347-945-6313. Again, that number is 347-945-6313, and then hit the number 1 anytime if you want to ask a question, because then I'll see your hand is raised, and then when we have a chance, we'll unmute you so you can ask Lisa a question. So apologize for that earlier. Obviously, you know, professional radio host is not my main job. but in the meantime, we'll move on. I was very interested in this portion of your book where chapter 5 that you call Stuck Loose.
Oh, yes.
And go over some pitfalls, and I think it'd be really interesting for our readers to, you know, to sort of hear from your point of view what you've seen, you know, in your coaching practice and the people that you help. And,
yes. Well, this is and this is another reason I wrote this book. I really based this on what I was seeing time and time again with women who were wanting different results in their future but weren't getting them.
Right.
And it's because of the stuck, loose principle. And it really is about what is holding you back. And so a lot of what's holding us back in terms of getting a better relationship is that we don't know we deserve it, or we stay too long in the wrong relationship because we don't think there's anything else out there. So, you know, one of the things I talk about that's a huge pitfall, the reason women get stuck, is because we're afraid no one else is going to come along. So we think we've got to just suck it up and either stay with the wrong guy or settle for yet another Mr. Wrong. And another reason we get stuck is this whole idea, and women, it is. I think it's part of our nature, too. We really fall in love with potential, not reality.
Potential, not reality.
Yeah. So a lot of times we're looking at a guy and going, oh, my gosh, this guy could be president if he wasn't an emotional
alcoholic.
Wreck, if he wasn't an alcoholic, if he wasn't a gambler, if he wasn't a jerk, if he could get up on time every morning, if he wasn't playing old stories over and over in his head. And you know, like we paint this rosy picture of what a man can be, but we're not paying attention to who he is in reality. And I went through this with my big breakup. I was so in love with this man, so in love with him and his potential. And the truth was, he was an alcoholic, and I couldn't admit it to myself because I loved the idea of who we could be together more than our reality. And it was this potential that I was hung up on. And it wasn't until I said, you know what? This man is an alcoholic, and I can't be with somebody like that. This isn't working for me. He's not willing to get help. So I must change. I must be the thing that changes in this scenario, which means getting out of the relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. And another thing I see over and over again when we're talking about getting stuck is women are afraid that they're too old to start over, even if they're 30. They think this. You know, I talk to women who are 30 up to age 60, and they go, it's too late. I missed out. I will never get love right. I will never meet a man. The statistics show this and that and the other thing. And my response to that is, well, you have a choice. You can be right, and that means you won't meet somebody else. Or you can choose to be happy, meaning shift your beliefs and step into possibility so you can manifest somebody amazing regardless of what statistics say.
Well, you know, that's so wonderful that you're talking about that now, because I was just going to say that there's a friend of mine who is having an incredibly difficult time in her relationship, and she's, you know, now clinically depressed. He's probably clinically depressed. They both can barely stand each other, yet they, you know, live at home, they do their own thing, but she's getting physically exhausted from all the anger and resentment and
yes.
everything that's going on in her body. And she said to me, and it's exactly in her words, she says, I'm too old.
Yeah.
I'm too old to start over. And I
and
said, well,
guess,
you could be right. If I said, if you believe that, then you're right.
And
yeah.
guess what else is happening? She's hurting herself physically by staying in the wrong relationship.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, it's not helping him either.
No, no. You know, and here's the thing. When I say that my ex was wrong for me, I was wrong for him too.
Right,
you know,
right.
There is no point where I stand on a soapbox and say, he was horrible. He was a great guy. He had some issues, and we were not compatible. I was equally incompatible for him. So it's really important when you're looking at a relationship, if you're in the blame place and you're like, he won't meet my needs, he won't
right.
do this. Well, guess what? You're staying.
Right.
So you
and
are participating.
So well, and that the whole idea of having a choice instead of feeling obligated.
Yes.
In a completely different place. And right now my friend's at the place where she's, you know, blaming and feeling it's all his fault. And
well, it's easy to live in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you
yeah,
don't
so
have to take any responsibility.
Yep. And she's like, well, and I'm sure you hear this a lot too, so maybe, you know, we'd love to get your thoughts on it. You know, you're probably at women saying, well, I can't leave the relationship because I can't afford.
Yes.
So how do you counsel women on that, the whole money?
This is actually really, really scary to me. Because if you're in a place where you can't afford to leave, that means you're going to put up with all kinds of stuff that violates you spiritually. So what I say to women who say, I can't afford to leave, I say to them, can you afford to stay? Can you afford to stay? Now let's be practical for a minute. If you do not make enough money to afford your own place, move out and get a roommate. Or move in with somebody who needs a roommate. There are plenty of opportunities to get out of a bad relationship. It doesn't mean you have to live alone and foot all the bills if you can't afford it. Even if it's not ideal, getting out of a bad relationship is better than staying in a bad relationship and feeling later that you've wasted too much time and now it's too late for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's sort of like the devil that you know is better than the one you don't.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes,
and they're like,
and
well, I know how bad it can get, but boy, it could be worse, so I'd rather just stay here and be miserable.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot. And what I say to everyone who's saying that, I say, you know what, there will come a time where changing is the only option because it will be more painful to stay the same.
Yep. I mean, it was the same for me that I was pretty much asleep for most of my marriage, just pretending that, well, it's going to work out. I'm going to do whatever it takes for it to work out.
Yeah.
And I literally had to be so tired and sick and, you know, ready to commit suicide. I mean, it was that bad.
Yeah.
Before I said, okay, do I really want to live the rest of my life like this? And the answer was no.
Yeah. And
I had to get that bad.
And for some of us, it does have to get that bad. I gave myself, I was in so much emotional pain around my relationship that I gave myself chronic pain because I was in such emotional pain.
Yeah.
And it was only once I gave myself chronic pain and it got so bad that I couldn't do my job that I said, you know what, maybe there's something going on here and I need to change.
Right, right. And so, I mean, it definitely is hard to, you know, in my case, you know, watch my friend do this. But at the same time, I realized that, hey, you know what, I was no different.
Yeah.
I had to go through it.
Absolutely.
Found whatever I needed to help me. So all I could do is just, you know, model, you know, my life and join now, and we'll see where it goes. But I thank you so much for your thoughts on that. And I'm
absolutely
going to listen to the show.
Well, and their own process. So
yeah.
Some people have to go to that horrible, awful, deep, intense pain. My hope with my books and with my coaching can learn to change your behavior without getting so traumatized. But sometimes we have to go to that icky, awful, dark place.
Right, right. And our you know, support people need to respect that might be it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They'll love the person. And then before we move on, I'd like to remind everyone who's maybe just joined us here at the Law of Attraction Love Radio Show, and my guest today is Lisa Stedman, who is the author of a new book called If He's Not the One, Who Is? And it's a guide for women who have broken up and are looking for their place in the world. And the number to call in live if you'd like to ask a question is 347-945-6313. Again, that number is 347-945-6313, and you can hit the number 1 at any time so I know that your hand's up and you'd like to ask a question. And for those of you that are listening online, first of all, thank you for listening online, and you'll notice that three of Lisa's books are right on there. So if you're wondering what her other books are, you can just take a look. It's a breakup, not a breakdown. There's the original book and the workbook, and of course the book we're talking about today, If He's Not the One, Who Is? So Lisa, I had another comment about what you said earlier about seeing the guy's potential.
Yes.
You know, in when we teach the spiritual things that to our clients, that sort of thing, there is a teaching that is seeing everyone for their essence, so their core essence. So everyone's core essence is beautiful.
Yes.
And so that's a good thing.
Yes.
However, I think that some of us take it to distort that to say, well, that person's beautiful, and then they make up this whole myth about, what they're supposed to be in our minds.
Yes.
And think, well, gee, didn't you just, didn't we just say that everyone's beautiful and perfect and blah, 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 blah? But then on our outside world, we can distort that teaching into projecting all the things that they should be. And we don't do them any good because they don't get the opportunity to be who they choose to be.
Right, right. This is very true, and this is what's tricky, is it is true that in the core of our being, we are all beautiful people, and we do deserve to be celebrated. And a lot of the work I do is helping women celebrate the beauty within them. It's what I call the woohoo within. My company is Woohoo Inc., so
yeah.
I help women celebrate this woohoo within and radiate it out. Here's what's so challenging then, what you just said is, okay, so I meet a guy and I'm supposed to see him as he really is, and how do I distinguish between his potential and reality? And so we must learn to pay attention to men's words, their actions, as well as that inner essence that, yes, is beautiful, but we don't necessarily need to be in a relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different animal.
Yes.
From the other type of relationship, that which is, how we can label codependent, where you just try to finagle and manipulate and control the other person to what you want them to be.
Yeah, that's no fun, by the way.
No,
doing that is no fun.
It can be rather addictive, especially if a lot of us have learned it through just, modeling and watching it through childhood or grandparents, relationships. There's just so many relationships out there that aren't, fully awake, and so
yes.
We learn these things, and so we have to unlearn them.
Yes, and they're great tools as long as we learn along the way. I say to so many women who say, every relationship I've ever been in has ended, and I say, great, what'd you learn?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. You're not a failure if a relationship ends. It wasn't your perfect long-term relationship. If you learn from it, you can do better next time and get closer and closer and closer until you just masterfully manifest your perfect partner. And it takes some time, and it takes practice, and it takes implementing our lessons. So we've got to stop beating ourselves up for the fact that it hasn't happened already or that Mr. Right didn't show up yesterday.
Well, the beating ourselves up can come from so many different sources. And for me personally, I know this resonates with quite a few people out there as well, is that we feel that somehow through our religious backgrounds and how we grew up, that if you choose whoever you choose and you make a mistake, well, too bad. You made your bed, you have to lie in it. So then when you fail, you feel horrible, that we failed God, we failed our parents, we failed society, So it can be a very huge burden to have those beliefs.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was about, you know, share with our readers what's the million-dollar question that you ask?
Oh, this is such this is a chapter in the book, and it's called The Million-Dollar Question. And the million-dollar question is, how do you want to be loved? And it is the million-dollar question, because for so many of us women, we don't actually know how we want to be loved. We have a laundry list of qualities and traits that we think our guy should possess. And a lot of times we are so misguided. We say, well, he's got to make this kind of money, or he's got to bring this to the table, or he's got to be able to fix me or save me, or he's got to be 6 feet tall. And none of that describes how the guy should make you feel. And I do this work with all of my clients because I think it's one of the most important pieces of shifting your belief system. It's not what he looks like, what he brings to the table. It's how he makes you feel. And when you define how he makes you feel, then when he shows up, you recognize him regardless of what the package shows up looking like. And this is so, it's illustrated perfectly in my own life and in a lot of my clients' lives. My husband is my height. I'm 5'3", and he's 5'4". My husband is 5 years younger than me, and I had sworn off younger guys because they were all irresponsible and immature. And my husband, you know, when I met him, had those Invisalign braces. So if you can imagine my perfect partner and God putting my perfect partner in front of me, if God had put my husband in front of me at any other time in my life, I would have took one look at my husband and said, are you kidding me? But instead, when this amazing man was sitting next to me at a bar, I met my husband at a bar, when this amazing man was sitting next to me and we turned to each other and we started talking and it was familiar, I realized he actually matched my definition of what I'd been creating in my own head for what I wanted love to feel like.
Feel like.
He was intelligent. He was emotionally available. He was cultured. He was well-traveled. He was, I mean, my husband, we joke, he's an old man in a young man's body because he is the most wise and mature man I've ever met. So if I had said, looks 20 and is clearly younger than me, and cut him off at that, shame on me.
Well, then you would never have met.
I would have missed out. I would have overlooked him. But because I had been saying for 30 to 60 days, literally, I did this exercise and within 60 days met my husband, I said, love is, and then I started defining it. Love feels good. Love is available. Love is blissful. Love is easy. Whatever the words were that spoke to me that day. And when he showed up, I was like, I recognize you.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That resonance was so strong that you created in yourself.
Yes.
You recognize that person. And although we don't have time for it, I wanted to let everyone know that in your awesome book, and I do get this question a lot, so everybody has to go buy this book. It says Top 5 Signs He Could Be Mr. Right. So we don't have time to go over it today, but you got to read that section.
Yes.
You get asked that question quite a bit. How do I know that this is Mr. Right? And you're basically, you know, touching on the core of that with what you just said.
It's so important to understand that there are differences between Mr. Wrong, Mr. Next, and Mr. Right. So often I think women think we just need to make any guy Mr. Right. So in the book, I discuss the distinctions between these three types of men, and it's essential for women's dating lives to be healthier and happier that they understand those differences.
Perfect. And as we close, Lisa, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes, and we want to make sure that everyone knows how to find you. So what's the best way to contact you, either for coaching or teleseminars or other types of helpful relationship information?
The best place to go would be go to my website, lisastedman.com, and that's lisastedman.com, and you can find out about me, coaching, my books, my products, my services, and you can read my blog, which is daily, and get all kinds of great information for free.
Oh, that's great. So they can sign up for a newsletter?
They can sign up to get a newsletter and a free chapter download of my book, and I send them regular updates with tips, information, and tools to help them make 2010 the most magnificent year it can be, both personally as well as professionally. And if it's time to meet Mr. Right, I'm going to help you do that.
Ah, well, that is wonderful. Well, Lisa, just, you know, so appreciate the work you do, how you contribute to all of us and women all over the world. Your gifts. Thank you so much for spending the time with us today in the Law of Attraction Love Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right, take care.
You too.
Thank you. And thanks for listening to the show, everyone. And if you enjoyed the show, please mark it as your favorite. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And make sure you run out and get Lisa's books if you're single and looking for love as a woman. It's definitely the place to go. So until next time, Dr. Karen Kann signing off.